Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
We have some representatives from the Gideon's group. There they are. They're visiting us today, and they're going. As most of you know, that name Gideon's has been around a long, long time, and it's been a good thing for a lot of people. Sometimes that's the only avenue they have to finally get to read about Jesus. So, the gentleman I'm going to introduce is Dick Funderburk, right? Do I have it? Yes. I did it right.
I don't know how much longer I can hang under this car. Al was running from the Dallas police when they discovered him attempting to break into a warehouse. When Al noticed the squad car at the end of the alley that night, he realized that while he had been studying the warehouse, the police had been studying him. As the squad car headed down the alley, Al ducked into a grassy lot, and he was now hanging under the engine of one of the cars parked there. The police began searching the lot. One of the policemen shouted to his partner to look under the cars parked there with his flashlight. As the policeman shone his light under the car where Al was hiding, the light caught one of the tires and cast a shadow over Al, hiding his body. After the police left, he dropped to the ground and ran to his nearby motel room. Al was shaken. His ambitions of getting into organized crime had been having some ups and downs, but they'd been going along pretty well. But what Al didn't realize was that God had other plans for his life. Looking on the bedstand of his motel room, Al noticed a Bible. It had been placed there by a Gideon, who knows when. But he had heard about God at a camp that he and his brother had attended with money that Al had stolen so that they could go. But Al had no real interest in God. The close call with the police that night, however, kind of got him thinking. God, if you are real, you should be able to show me in this book. Al opened the scriptures to a genealogy. So-and-so begat such-and-such begat so-and-so. That's no good, he thought. So I'll give you one more chance. He opened the scriptures again. Another genealogy. In anger, Al threw the Bible against the wall. It bounced off the wall, landed on the bed, and opened up to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Al went on to read that this Word was no other than Jesus Christ, who had come to earth to dwell among us and to save him from his own sins. That spoke to Al, and after reading more about God and his Son, he knelt that night and accepted Christ as his Savior. Sharing God's word to change lives. These few words sum up what the Gideon's International is really all about. For more than 120 years, the Gideon's and the people who support us have been sharing God's word and helping to change lives around the world. We have members in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions, and printed copies of God's word are available in 100 languages and with our Bible app, of which we have over, of which we have over 1,500 different languages and dialects, many of which are only available in a spoken format. Our church members live where they serve. We're born-again members of our local churches, and as business and professional men within the community, we simply want to make sure everyone has a chance to receive God's word and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. To date, we have placed over 2.5 billion Bibles, but there's over 8 billion people in the world, so we still have a ways to go. In the past year, the local Green Valley camp distributed over 1,500 scriptures at middle and high schools in Nogales and Sahuarita, and this spring we'll be participating in distributions at the University of Arizona, as well as the Pima County Fair. And our Ladies Auxiliary will place these color scriptures in the various medical and dental offices throughout the region. Isaiah 55:11 states that God's word shall not return unto him void. And through your support for the Gideon ministry, God's word is at work every minute of every day. And we thank you for that support. Do you remember Al from my opening statement? He went on to become an evangelist, a Bible teacher, a preacher, a pastor, and later in life, my father-in-law. Al continued, he continued to preach, teach, and lead others to Christ well into his late 80s. He passed away in February of 2023, but even on his deathbed, he was talking to the nurses or anyone else who would listen about what Christ had done in his life. So the placement of a Bible in a motel room by an unknown Gideon many years ago had an impact on my life when I married my wife, Janet. As I have shared, these scriptures make a real difference in lives. Even though our ministry is accomplishing so much through your support, the need for God's word is even greater. As we said, we've still got a ways to go. How can you help? First and foremost, prayer. The Gideons International needs us, needs your prayers. Pray that we'll have more open doors for scripture distributions, we'll have more funds to purchase those scriptures, and that we'll have more Gideons to help in that distribution of those scriptures. Next, if God leads you to do so, consider giving to one of us there at the doors as we're leaving, or in your bulletins that we handed out. There's more information about the Gideons as well as an envelope if you choose to give that way. Please consider giving in this free will donation. We're also, as I mentioned, we're in need of more bodies to help with the distribution. And I would be amiss if I did not point out that within these scriptures, there are also not just New Testaments and the Psalms, but we also have at the back of the book, we have information about how to accept Christ. We have information about helps of if you're hurting, if you're various verses that you can use to refer to. We also have a written up about what the Bible contains. It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. And that's at the front of every Bible we hand out. So when we hand these out, it's more than just God's word. Yeah. It's also a help for those that receive it. Yeah. And Pastor, thank you for allowing us to speak today. And thank you, congregation, for your attention and giving me the time to speak. And please remember the Gideons in your prayers. Thank you. Amen.
So thank you, Dick. And if you do choose to donate, to give, write it out to the Gideons, not to Sarita House of Worship, okay? Give it directly to the Gideon group. So let's pray, if you guys will stand with me. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the hearts that are gathered here this day, Lord, that come to be filled by you, Lord, that come to give whatever is in our hearts, that we bring it to your throne room, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this day you are here to meet us. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit will have your way here, Lord, this day. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us individually as a body. And that you bless us, Lord, this day, that whoever is here this day will walk away with something that you have for them specifically for that person, Lord. That you have something special, Lord, that you've been reserving for each person here this day, Lord. We trust in your goodness. You're a good God. We love you, Lord. And Lord, we now come and praise and worship, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. So let's worship.
Does your heart belong to him this morning? See, we let little things, right, become the focus of what we want. And it's like, it's because of wants, right? Because we love something, we want something, we feel like we need something. But when we learn to just love God and put him first in everything, in all things. When our heart truly belongs to Him, we've surrendered it all. See, growth happens in the communion, right? In the time spent with Him, the time that we build that relationship, the time that we go after. It's not us or anything specifically that we do, it's Him in us that changes not only our lives but the lives around us, right? It's the giving of it all.
What does love really mean? We can love because He first loved us. I mean, He gave His Son to die for us. He loved us so much. But how easy is it for us to really love when someone cuts you off on the road, or when someone is yelling at you, or when family members are arguing, or, you know, Paul says it in Romans, we do the things that we don't want to do, and we do the things that we know we don't do the things that we know we should do, and we do the things that we know we shouldn't do. And so we have to remember to love when it's really difficult to love. Love everybody, even if they're yelling at you, even if they just cut you off in the road. He loves us all, even when we don't agree with each other, even when the families are fighting, even when the neighbors are disagreeing about their HOAs, and everybody is all upset out in the world on a Wednesday or on a Thursday, and they're not getting along. It's not just Sunday. How do we bring this love? How do we bring this surrender? How do we bring this obedience into our Wednesday, into our Thursday, into our Friday, into the hospitals, into the prisons, into the HOAs, to our neighbors, to the ones that need us, to need the drink of water, to need the smile, the kind words? That's how we love, and we can love because He first loved us. He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And then, after we get it, we have to teach others that don't get it, because they're taught a lot of things out there, and they don't get it. And so teach them love. Teach them by our actions, even when you're upset with somebody at the HOA meeting, even when the paint color isn't correct, even when you're arguing with somebody on the phone, or the daughter or the son just isn't listening to what you have to say. It's okay. Ask God for help. He will show us the way. We have His Holy Spirit so that we can love, because we were first loved by Him.
Hallelujah. Raise your hands and tell me, Lord, we love You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for today, Lord. This is the day You made, Lord. We do decide to rejoice. We've made a commitment to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Father, no matter what we see, Father, Lord God, You can have our hearts, Lord. Lord, take our hearts, Lord, mold them and make them into what You desire this morning, Lord. Father, let Your word, Father God, change things in our lives today, God, because we come, Father God, to be changed into Your image, God. We come to see You, Father God, in all of our faces, Father God. That's what we're here, Lord. Hallelujah, to hear what You have for us, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You're doing, Lord, in the earth today, Father. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Rise up, O God. Hallelujah. Rise up, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, Father. Ooh, hallelujah. How many say amen to that? Can you say amen? Can you say amen that God, hallelujah, God should be in charge, amen? How many know God is in charge, amen? Hallelujah. The kingdoms of men, we just don't know it. We just haven't figured it out yet. Isn't that right, Tommy? There, man, hey, God's in charge. Bible says that
It says the kingdom of God rules over all. I believe that's in Psalm 103, I think. But the kingdom of God rules over all. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. As always, always has and always will. Amen? Come on. It just takes us a while to catch up. It's taken us quite a while to catch up. Amen? But I believe the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is catching up. I believe we're seeing things today, we're hearing things today that we haven't heard before. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. The realization that this kingdom is within us. Can you say amen? That a king dwells in your heart. That God himself, by his spirit, dwells in your heart. Can you say amen to that? That's what Jesus paid for mankind, to redeem mankind back into the original purpose that God had for him. Can you say amen? Ooh, man, that's what God has for us. Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord, just do it. Holy Spirit, whatever you want, just do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, I get a little excited. I can't jump around my guitar too much. I might break it. Amen? Come on, man. But I could jump. I could run. Hallelujah. Can I borrow your... Hey, this thing right here. Hey, look at your neighbor and say this. What you looking at? What are you looking at? Say, I don't know. He told me to look at you. Look at your neighbor on the other side. Tell him, what are you looking at? Hallelujah. That's the title of today's message. What you looking at? Come on, man. Hallelujah. How many know our life, there's so much that happens in our life because of what we see. Hallelujah. And folks, that God has told us to remember that things, that the invisible things are God. You can't see them. You'll know them because they'll be in you. You'll sense them. Can you say amen? We walk by faith and not by what you see. Amen? So look one more time. Say, so what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Hallelujah. Someone say, man, I don't know. I was trying to figure that out. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. If you will, let's go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Glory to God. I really like having the Gideons over. Come over to our house and visit. Come on, man. I love it, man, because I love the story. I love the story, brother, about your father-in-law, man. Come on, man. I carried a little orange Gideon Bible at work, and it was about that fat. Not because I cried over it so much, which I did. I cried quite a bit over this thing when looking at God's Word. You know, and, you know, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't say, or, you know, hey, you're not really, I'm really not supposed to be reading God's Word while I'm working. Is that right? Oh, but let me tell you, that little Bible popped out every time I got by myself. And it popped out. And the reason it was so fat was because I dropped it in the water about 20 times. I don't know how many times. But so the thing just puffed up on me, man. But I loved it. How many love the Word of God? How many just love God's Word? You got to love God's Word. You got to love that God has placed a Word in the earth for us. And that you got to love that Word so that He can take His Spirit and speak to your heart through that Word. Can you say amen to that? Without the Holy Ghost, this is just a book. Can you say amen to that? But the Bible calls it the living Word. It's alive if you're hungry. If you just want to look at it to be smarter than somebody else or to pick yourself up over somebody, hey, man, it's not going to work for you very well because God doesn't work that way. Can you say amen? God desires to touch your heart, your inner being. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love these guys. I love Gideons. I really do. I love what they do. I love... And I've told it, every time they come over, I tell a story, and I'm going to tell it again probably, just because some of you haven't probably heard it. But Phil Driscoll, trumpet player, had gone into a hotel to kill himself. How many of you heard of Phil Driscoll? Anybody? Good trumpet player. And he got in there. Gun wouldn't work. Wouldn't fire. There's nothing wrong. What's wrong with the gun? So he opened the drawer and threw the drawer threw the gun in the drawer, and there was a Bible there. Pulls it out and reads it, and somebody had gone in and marked, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Read those scriptures, read some more of the ones that, and man, Gabe fell on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord. Isn't that good? Praise God, man. And I know the Gideons, man. The Gideons. A work still going on, still being done. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Good stuff. Thank you, guys. So, folks, to you too, anybody who want to get involved with these folks, they'll go down to the high school, hand out Bibles to folks, to kids. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Yeah. Kids need the Word of God. You never know. But God does. Amen. Starting at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It said, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you." I was looking in one of my Bibles. It's got dates on it. So I just kind of figured out the dates. And at this point, Abraham was already 125 years old. That's an old guy. Is that right? According to our standards, I guess. You know. Maybe not to Noah. That's still a young buck. Still had a lot to learn, a lot to do. But 125 years old. And Isaac, his son, was actually, because the Bible says when Abraham was 100 years old, his son was born, Isaac. And so that made Isaac about 25 years old. Is that right? So Isaac wasn't no little punk. Is that right? So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place where God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went up together. Obedient son. Amen. Praise God for that. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, father, yeah. And he goes, "Here am I." And he goes, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And one of the very powerful word in the Bible is this next one here. It says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. This is the part where I go, what? Isn't that crazy? Isaac must be real. You know, I wonder if Isaac had heard, if Abraham had told all his stories to his son Isaac and told him about all the times that God had delivered him, how that he had told a king that his mom was his sister, and God gave that king a dream, said, "You better not touch her, buddy," and delivered them and gave them things, gave them sheep and cattle, and made Abraham a very big man. All the times that he was, wherever he went. So Isaac, hearing all these stories, talk about an obedient young man. His dad's tying him up. Hey, Dad, where'd you say that lamb was again? Where'd you say the, what? And he's tying him up. Dad, yeah. And Abraham's, I don't know if 125 years old, if Abraham could pick him up, might have. But he might have just pushed him over and rolled him over onto that sacrifice, onto that altar that he had built. And Isaac's obedient. Can you say amen? Doesn't say he's saying much, does it? I wonder what he was thinking. Anybody ever thought that? You know, my dad's a man of God. Yeah, we haven't heard the word senile yet. So he couldn't use that. Couldn't use all the... So, and here he is on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Was Abraham going to kill his son? You bet he was. God had told him to. Can you imagine Abraham explaining this to Sarah? I'm going to take him up and I'm going to put him on an altar and I'm going to sacrifice him to God. So you go, what? God told me to. Yeah, don't sound good, does it? No, God told me to. God did tell him. How many say amen? God told him, is that right? His intent was to do exactly that. His intent was to do what God had said. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. Everybody go, whew. Aren't you glad? For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What a test. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that God still tests us today? How many of you have been in a test lately? Anybody? No? Nobody? Oh, yeah. Come on. There's one, maybe two, maybe three. I mean, I've been in tests. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. And the name that Abraham said was, he called that place Jehovah Jireh. All my life, I've always heard it as Jireh was the Lord will provide. And it does mean that. But in the intense term of the word, it means the Lord will see. The Lord will see. How many of you glad God sees everything about you? Everything. He's looking at us. How many say, he's looking at me? Is that right? Sometimes it feels like when you're going through something that God, do you see me or not? I'm trying to obey you. I'm trying to stay steadfast. I'm trying but it hurts. Can you say amen? But it hurts. And God, it does not seem like you're listening to me. It does not seem like you even care about what I'm going through. He does. Can you say amen? He sees you. He is the Lord God that sees. He sees everything. He doesn't miss a thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Doesn't miss a thing. I'm going to tell you about one of the tests I went through. I had bought a 1970 International four-wheel drive pickup short bed. Man, good truck. I bought it used out of a used car lot. And when I got the truck, it was leaking oil. The engine was smoking a little bit. And so I would take it out in the dirt and I would put it in four-wheel drive and go climbing things. And some of my friends would tell me, hey, when you're going in that truck, all of a sudden the back tires just, they spin by themselves. And I could feel it inside. It felt like the thing was trying to speed up. I go, yeah, I wonder what the... Found out what that was. Somebody had put in a a mismatch of the gear sets. So the front gears weren't matching the second gear, the rear gears. So it would build up pressure in that box, and then it'd spin that back wheels. And so, yeah, I probably bought a little bit of a lemon, maybe. Sometimes we would call it a lemon. How many know God doesn't sell us lemons, doesn't give us lemons? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You might say something, hey, you might say, well, my car is a lemon. You know what? You put your hand on it and believe God and say, God, put your blessing on this thing. This is what we believe God for. We believe that God has blessings for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, anyway, so I start working on this truck, and I took the engine out, rebuilt the engine, got some tires that were about this high. Truck was way up in the air, and it was, man, I love my truck. I had just got done rebuilding the whole front end on it, and a friend of mine called me up. He says, hey, I met a guy on the freeway. His truck broke down. He needs a place to try to fix it. And I live out in Elephant Head, and he says, hey, can he bring it to your house? I said, sure, Andy, come on. So he brought it over, and then it was a Chevy pickup. I like Chevys, but it was so beat up. The guy was an evangelist from Mexico. And this truck, I mean, it had parts on it that I wouldn't put on. What was holding the rear axle on, they had made some kind of shims to make it high for him. And they took all thread. Does everybody know what all thread is? It's just a long bar it's all threaded all the way through, and they bent it and they used those to hold that axle on. And that's really a big no-no. I mean, and so I'm looking at this truck, wow, what a piece of junk. Amen? But it's not my truck, so I better shut up. Well, so the truck is sitting at my house, and my friend calls me up. The truck sat there about for a week, and the friend called me up and he says, hey, Henry, I had a dream. Really? Yeah, and he goes, Matt, he goes, in the dream, bro, you gave your truck to this evangelist. And I go, shut up. Yeah, I said, that's not God. And he's a brother-in-law. I said, no, bro, really, man. I dreamed that you gave him that truck. I go, no. I say, well, no, that's not a good dream. Well, a couple of nights later, Rosie wakes up. She goes, I had a dream. I looked at her. She goes, I dreamed you gave him your truck. I go, oh, no, not you. No. No, not you. And she goes, you ought to pray about it. I don't want to pray about it. How many say amen? You ever had one of those? I mean, I don't. Sometimes God puts us in some things, man. I do not want to pray about this. Me? No. No. Not doing it. Not going to happen. So I'm at church, and I'm praying one night. And the Lord said to me, gave me a scripture, and he said, if you have what your brother needs by you, and he has a need, how dwelleth the love of God in you if you don't provide that need? Oh, my God. Not you, too. Oh, man. I really had a hard time with this. I really did. I put all that work in it. God? No. So I told Rosie, you know, I think I'm going to give him the truck. The guy's name was Gustavo. So I tell my friend Andy, hey, I say, hey, Andy, let Gustavo know that I'm going to give him the truck. He goes, all right. So I said, make a date. We say, hey, go down, meet us at the bank. Rosie was working at the First Interstate Bank at the time. And she meet us at the bank, and we'll do the transaction and everything in the bank. So when we're sitting in there, and the lady and one of Rosie's coworkers she goes, so you're gonna give him your truck? I say, yeah, is he your brother? Well, yeah, kind of, I guess. But no, I don't know him. I never know him until his last couple of weeks. And he goes, well, she goes, that blue truck you've been driving here, you've been working on? I go, yeah, that's the one. She goes, are you crazy? I felt crazy. You know, folks will make you feel weird, amen? You're going to give him your truck? She goes, you know what? there's got to be a cash sale here. So she tells, have you got a dollar? I even had to give him a dollar. I said, here's a dollar. Isn't that right, Rose? Where are you at, babe? Remember? Here's a dollar so he could pay me a dollar so that I could sign over this truck to him. So there was a bill of sale and everything. He walked out. Come on, man. He walked out of that bank. He's got my... No, he didn't have my truck keys yet. The truck was still at my house. But he's all excited, and I'm not too happy walking out of that bank. I'm going, oh, my God. Come on, God. This ain't right, man. I feel like I just got gypped, you know. But blessings sometimes don't feel like blessings. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, he was saying, staying somewhere in Sahorita. And he was trying to get his truck moved out of my yard. So, but he called me up. He goes, and Andy, they said, hey, can you come to Tucson? I just want you to hear, come to one of my meetings. I said, I don't think I want to. He goes, no, I need you there. I really do need you there. So, okay. So he's in there, and he's talking. And then he tells everybody that I gave him a truck, my truck. And I'm not too happy about it. And so where I'm standing at the door, and people are shaking his hand and everything, and I'm just standing waiting because we're going to go have something to eat. And this one guy comes up to me and goes, hey, man, you got any more nice trucks you want to give away? I felt like slapping him. Shut up. Well, I still hadn't turned over the truck to him because I was doing some things to it. I wanted to finish what I was doing to it, so I told him, hold on. And in that meantime, Gustavo, brother in the Lord, was caught in Sahorita peeping Tomming. They caught him looking in people's houses. I don't know the whole story about it, but this is what happened. Then everybody came to me, because everybody in the church knew about me giving them that truck. And now they're coming to me and say, oh, you made a mistake, bro. They're telling me, hey, you know, what's up, man? Here you gave him this truck and everything. I said, man, now I'm really mad. And I'm talking to the Lord, I'm praying, God, why did you have me do this, God? Why? Why would you have me do this? I don't understand. And so I called him up and I told him, hey, Gustavo, hey, you can come over and pick up the... Why don't you come over for dinner and you can drive the truck home. So, but I really need you to get that truck out of my yard. He goes, I'll get it out. So he comes over to have dinner. I'm asking the Lord why this was happening to me. So why would you do this, God? God was going after my stuff. Is that okay? How many say amen? And so we have dinner and everything. And after dinner, he's excited. I can tell he wants the keys. And so anyway, I hand him the keys and he runs out. Gustavo runs out and he goes. And he had a young man, a little boy, his son. And I would say he was around 8 or 9 years old. And I'm standing and I'm watching him get in the truck. And all of a sudden, I feel this. I look down, there's this kid right here hugging me. And he's looking up at me. And he's weeping. He's crying like crazy. And he's saying, gracias, hermano Henry. Gracias. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm looking at his tears. And the Lord said, that is why. That is why. So I don't know what God's going to do, and I don't know where that truck is at now, in the mountains of Mexico someplace. I'm not sure. But I do know that sometimes when God asks us to do things, it's not easy. There, Abraham went through the sacrifice my son. Abraham didn't even went. He said, okay, because he trusted God. Amen. He trusted God, and God was looking at Abraham. See, in times like that, God's looking at your heart. See, I might have felt like God was, hey, what are you doing, God? You're messing me up here, man. And he's looking, are you going to be obedient? Will you do what I've asked you to do? You see, God sees you. Can you say amen? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Is that right? beholding the good and the evil and the good, right? In every place. Where's that? In your closets? Yeah?
Everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Inside your house? Every place.
Yes.
In your heart?
Yes.
Is he in your heart?
Yes.
He sees the things in your heart. Can you say amen to that? How many know sometimes we need to get stuff out? I need to get me out. Is that right? How many know we need to evict our ourselves out of our heart? How many say amen to that? You know, the Bible says, take up your cross and follow me, not your heart. Follow him. Ooh, hallelujah. He sees everywhere. He's in every place looking. Psalm 34, verse 15 says this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Amen. Praise God. Amen. His ears are open to their cry. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, man. Lord, why are you doing this to me? That's why right there, that young man is going to be a man of God for me. That right there. His ears are open to their cry. God will hear you, and he'll answer you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God is a God of answers. He's the only answer. Can you say amen? What it, the answer he gives is the only answer you need. Huh. Praise God. Don't go ask your neighbor. Don't go ask your pastor. Wow, that's bad. That sounds like I'm shooting myself in the foot. But it's not. I really believe you need to ask the Lord. Don't ask me. Now, if the Lord tells me something, I'll give it to you. But if he don't say anything to me, you're asking the wrong person. You need to ask the Lord. Praise God. Psalm verse 33, verse 18 says this. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. Yeah. Come on, man. He's upon those that fear him. What keeps you from doing the things you shouldn't be doing? Is it a good, healthy reverence for the Lord? I fear the Lord, man. Remember Joseph when Potiphar's wife went after him? I love it, man. And he tells her, how can I do this before my God? See, Joseph knows that God sees everywhere and every place. Is that okay? Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart, see that? Whose heart is perfect toward him. Asa, King Asa, one of my favorite kings when he first started. He was Jehoshaphat's son. And when Jehoshaphat, when he passed away, Asa became king. And Asa had seen some things in his dad. And as soon as he became king, he said, everybody is going to worship the Lord our God only. And he tore down a bunch of sacrifice places and he made a decree and he told everybody, anybody that will not worship God, Jehovah, will be put to death. Isn't that good? Come on, man. Now we're talking about a king that's got something going on. Amen? Somebody saw a king that says, man, I'm going to make this. Well, he did good for a while. But then as he got older, the king of Israel, Asa was the king of Judah, the king of Israel came against him. Baasha is his name. He came against Asa. So Asa, instead of calling upon God for some help, he hired some folks. He hired an army to come over. And they came over and it scared Baasha and his bunch and they went back into Israel. And Asa, wow, he's happy. They're taking down where they had fortified against him. They're taking it down, taking all the because they were gonna invade and besiege their city where he was at. So they're taking it all down. And the Lord sends this prophet to him. Isn't that funny? Just when things are going good, oh yeah, the enemy is gone. The Lord sends a prophet to him and tells him this: the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have wars. Whew. God. You know that Asa, the king, he took that prophet, threw him in jail? Man. He got a disease in his foot, in his feet later on. And instead of calling upon the Lord, the Bible says he went to the physicians. They couldn't heal him, and he died with that disease in his feet. Folks, hey, listen. God is looking for somebody whose heart, your heart, go like this, my heart. My heart, God, do you see my heart? Do you see my love for you, God? Do you see my care that I desire to see what you have coming, Father, in this kingdom? Do you see it, Lord, that I believe in the kingdom of God on the earth? Do you see it, Lord? If it's not in my heart, change my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How does he know what? How does he know our hearts? How does he know it? He looks. He tests. He gives us little tests. Can you say amen to that? So that little guy that just cussed you out in front of the cashier at Safeway because you bumped him. To test. God's going, what do you think of that? So you cuss him out back. Amen? Failed the test. Is that okay? No, not okay. God gives us all these little areas that we can grow in. We can help him. I tell people, I went into Rigoberto's and I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And at the time, I didn't know they didn't have beef chorizo. They had pork chorizo. But I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And so I get this burro, and the lady behind the counter was bigger than me. She was just bigger than me. And so I'm up there, and I go over to the table, and I start eating on this burrito, and it's not a beef chorizo burro. It is a beef burro. So I get up, and I go over, and I go over to her, and I tell her, ma'am, I ordered a beef chorizo burro, and you gave me a beef burro. She goes, no, you ordered a beef burro. I said, no, I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And she goes, no, you ordered a beef burro. I said, no, I ordered a beef chorizo burro. No, you ordered, and I looked at her. She looked like she grew. I go, okay. I say, okay, I'm good. So I went back to that table, and I'm sitting on a table, and I'm taking a bite, and I'm tossing it down. I take another bite, and I toss it down. I said, I didn't want this beef burro. And the Lord said something to me. He said, now you don't get everything you want now, do you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot that you see everything, God. I forgot. See, God puts us through a lot of little things that he's watching our heart. Can you say amen? He looks at you. He cares about you. So he's going to put some things out there for you. Your flat tire is something. Is that okay? Your water heater went out. So you're mad at God. No, God sees these things. Can you say amen? He tests our heart. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Says this, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptation, different trials. Know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. How many of you want patience? How many of you, patience, you got to get trials. Yeah, you're going to get trials anyway, bro. Is that right? God's going to test you. And so because all these things are building something within you, if you will. God desires to build you and strengthen you. Luke chapter 21, verse 19 says this. This is Jesus. He says, the Lord says, in your patience, you possess your souls. Not something. It's in the middle of a discourse that he's talking, and he's talking about things that are going to be happening, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to try to arrest you because you speak the gospel. And he's just saying it's a lot of things, but he says this: in your patience, possess ye your souls. He's saying that we have an ability to possess our soul. What does it mean to have an ability to possess your soul? That basically it is, because your soul is the bed, if you will, of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so you have the ability to possess all of those, to control your will, to control, to help your will stop when it was trying to do something that maybe you know God wouldn't have you do, or your emotions, which is, you know, those things, your feelings, when somebody says something mean to you, calls you a word or whatever. You have an ability, Jesus says, in your patience. Patience is what helps you to possess that, to control that, to keep that under, if you will, the word of God. Can you say amen? That's what God's looking at. So I just want to show you patience a little bit. Here's the Greek word for patience is hupomone. Hupomone. And it means a cheerful and hopeful endurance. Yes. Patience. How many are waiting for something right now? Come on, man. I'm waiting. I can't wait to see the kingdom of God in the earth in a visible manner. God says, God, have patience for that. I can't wait to see every knee confess, every knee bow, and every tongue confess. I don't know about a knee confessing, but every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen? I can't wait to see that. I want to see it, because I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be having a good time. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, that person might be confessing that, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord, but I'm going to be out there, yeah, you better believe it. Yeah, you better. Come on, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But I need patience to hold on to that. My daughter, my granddaughter, she's in need of a pancreas healing. And God has taught me to be very patient with that. Be patient. Be patient. Because His promises are real. Can you say amen to that? It says in the Greek, hupomone is cheerful, hopeful endurance. And it's from a word named hupomeno. Hupomeno. It should have been a no in the end. But it's hupomeno. And it means to remain standing under. Under what? What are you standing under? You're standing under a promise of God. This is what Abraham, when he took his son to that altar and pulled the knife out. Here's what Hebrews says. Check it out. Hebrews 10 verse 35 and 30. No. Hold on. Let me go there. I'm not sure. No. I might have given you the wrong one, Terry, but let me look real quick. Hebrews. Verse 17 of chapter 11 says this. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up His only begotten son. What helped him to offer up? The promises. He was standing under a promise. He knew God was good for His word. He said, God, You promised me that Isaac would be where my seed would be called. It was in Isaac that we would bless the whole world. It is Isaac that the seed would come where Christ would die for our sins. It is Isaac, and I will do what You tell me, because I know You're going to raise him from the dead. That's what it says about Abraham. He was so convinced because of the promise. Are you convinced for the promise of whatever promise it is that you're holding on? Are you convinced? Are you sure that God has said to you, I'll do this? If you're sure, hold on to it. Never let it go. keep it. Because this world and some of the things we go through will try to pull it out of your hand or pull it out of your heart. And you said, no, man, this is God's promise. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, my daughter is healed. By his stripes, my granddaughter is healed. By his stripes, you're healed. He does not lie. He will not play around with us. We're not toys to him. We are sons and daughters to him. And he says, hold my word. Hold my promise. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says this. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. You see, patience brings the promise. Don't let patience continually stand under that promise. Get yourself an umbrella at home. Write your promise on the cross. Open it up and write your promise on it and just walk around your house holding your umbrella. God, I don't care how long it takes. I'm under this thing. I am under the promise of the living God, and he will answer me. He hears me and he sees me. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Did I read all the way to 36? No? Can you go back? I think I did. I'm not sure. Can you go back one time, Terry? Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Did I read that?
Yes,
I did. Yeah, thank you. All right, the next one, Terry. Yes. Hebrews 17, by faith. That's the one I went to earlier. Praise God. Got him out of order, but that's okay. How many say that's okay? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Therefore, brother, as a pastor, I'm speaking to you. As a brother in the Lord, I'm speaking to you. It says this. We ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we'd let them slip. Don't let any of those things slip out of your hands, out of your heart. If anything, when God gives you a promise, go into the Word of God and bolster it up. Put things with that promise. Let that promise become alive to you. And let the Word of God begin to build that promise in your heart, so that, man, whenever something happens, the Word of God begins to pour out of your mouth, because it's in your heart. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. So search your hearts every day. This isn't a TPT. The partial translation. No, I'm just kidding. You guys didn't listen. I got whatever. The passion translation. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters. Make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding. Where?
In you.
Where? Where is he saying, make sure you don't have it? Where? Hiding within you. Because, folks, how many of you know? The Bible says this, God. It says, the heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? That's that question. Who knows it? God. And he will, proper time, proper place, because your steps are ordered by the Lord, he will reveal those things to you that are troubling you. And he gives you opportunity to work on them. He says, search your hearts every day, brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding within you. For it will do what? Listen, this is an admonition from the Word. It will lead you astray. Don't let anything hide within you. It will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. Why is that? Because it in itself becomes an idol. And you've placed it before God. And how many of you know we're not to have anything before God? that he should be the first place we run to. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Everything is what his promises said, what Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior, this is what he said. All these things will be added to you. Amen. Can you all stand up and we'll pray? Woo-hoo. Search your hearts. Hallelujah. Search your hearts. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Put the spotlight on your heart. You know what? You know what? That spotlight is the Word of God. When you're reading something, you're going to go, uh-oh. Hey, he's talking to me, man. I think I'll skip that chapter right now. No, don't do that. Let God speak to your hearts. Thank you guys for coming this morning. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you this morning. Thank you for what you are doing. God, thank you, Lord, that you see and you look at our hearts. And God, you know what's within us, Father God. Father, we desire, Lord, that your kingdom, Father God, would just flow within the earth, Lord. Let there be a mighty move of your kingdom in the earth, Lord, because your word says that the pure in heart will see God. Yes. We will see God in the lives of our brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, because of what you're doing in the earth today. Purifying, sanctifying, strengthening by your word, Father. So we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. Let everyone in this house and our brothers and sisters in other houses, Lord, let them receive the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you agree, say amen. 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 Turn around, look at somebody, say, what are you looking at? Yeah, come on, man. What you looking at? Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm looking at the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-mm.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.